1 John 3:13. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. The Greek word marvel means to be amazed or astonished. John says, don't be surprised, don't be amazed if the world hates you. Point number one in your notes, the world hates followers of Christ. Jesus said the same thing to us. Look behind me at Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Why does the world hate us? Look behind me at John 15:18-19. If the world hates you, says Jesus Christ, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. John 17:14. I have given them your word, says Jesus Christ, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Why does the world hate us? John chapter 3, verse 20 on the screen behind me. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. The world hates Jesus because Jesus exposes the sin of the world. The world hates us because as his followers, we do the same. Jesus says we are blessed when we are hated. Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. We see in the book of Acts when the apostles are tortured, they rejoice because they were counted worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, all over the world today, our fellow Christians experience the blessing of being hated because of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Our brothers and sisters are hated and are being horribly treated. Watch this.
Those days, speaking about God was forbidden. But after freedom came, people began talking about God. For the first time in many years, they could speak about Jesus Christ. And now, just as before, the government has begun limiting this movement, this speaking about God. But this time, the authorities say we cannot believe in Jesus. We must be Muslims. This is how they are preventing the people from following Jesus today. Today, we believers have many troubles. If we are caught with Christian books, we are given fines and taken to jail. In fear, the believers have been bringing their Christian materials from their homes. They have been turning them in at a secret place. I was the one who collected these books. We have been keeping the books safe, hoping that one day we will be able to give these books back to the people of our country. The authorities discovered where the books were hidden. They took them away. Yesterday, I made a phone call to my wife. She said to me, "Come home quickly." The police were there looking for me. They had gone to my parents' house even looking for me. My wife said she was afraid that she might lose me. I don't know what will happen when I get home, but I'm ready for whatever may come to me for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Solar Mission Bulletin.
Please pray for me. May God give me strength and help me through all the difficulties that may come. Pray that my family will be safe. I do not regret what I have done. Jesus said that if we are following Him, we will have troubles. And He promised He will not give us more weight than we can bear. I have asked myself if I am ready to carry this weight. I believe I am ready.
Today, our family, our fellow Christians are hungry and thirsty, they are naked, homeless, our brothers and sisters are sick and in prison, they are beaten, they are tortured, they are kicked out of their families, denied education, denied justice, denied love, only because they believe in Jesus. Trinity Baptist, the world hates us. But this verse is not just talking about the people in the world that persecute us. This verse can also refer to people within the church whose lack of love reveals their heart. Look at verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. This phrase, we have passed out of death into life, appears earlier in the Bible in John chapter 5, verse 24, on the screen behind me. Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has passed out of death into life. The one who believes has passed out of death into life. Praise God. In 1 John, we are told, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, isn't it wonderful to experience the new birth? Isn't it wonderful to be transformed by the power of Christ? Isn't it wonderful to be changed by Christ from a person who hates to a person who loves? Isn't it wonderful to exchange your heart of hate for a heart of love? And isn't it wonderful to know that you have passed out of death into life because you used to be a hater and now you're a lover? In your notes, if I love my Christian brothers and sisters, it shows that Christ lives in my heart. Love is not the cause of spiritual life. It is the result. We are not born again because we love. We love because we are born again. If you and I truly love one another, we can know that a change has happened inside. We can know that we are born again. Why is that? Why is love the sign of spiritual life? Why is love the sign of spiritual life? Look behind me at 1 John 4, 7, and 8. In fact, you can turn there with me. It's probably just one page, if not on the same page. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Hallelujah. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. Why? God is love. And if God's Spirit lives in you, the result is always love. Look at verse 15 in our passage today. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Jesus taught us this. Look behind me at Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You've heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go to the fiery hell." From God's point of view, hate is equal to murder. If I hate you, my heart attitude toward you is the same as a murderer. John's powerful words here, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. These powerful words from John show us how evil hatred really is. Everyone who hates is a murderer because the heart attitude is the same. Turn back one or two pages with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John makes the same point in 1 John chapter 4. Turn a couple pages with me to 1 John chapter 4. And look at 1 John 4, 19. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. John says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. In Trinity Baptist, we used to be murderers. Our hearts were full of hate, but our hearts have been transformed by the power of Christ, and now we love. What is the principle in your notes? If I hate my Christian brother or sister, it shows that Christ does not live in my heart. People who consistently have attitudes of hatred toward others show that they have not been transformed by the power of the gospel. If I love, it shows Christ is in my heart. If I hate, it shows Christ is not in my heart. Well, the question we should be asking is then, what is love? What does it mean to love? Is it a feeling? Oh, I just love my brothers and sisters so much. My heart is so full with love. No, it's not a feeling. Why? You do not need Christ in your heart to feel love. Yeah. Is it words? Love you, bro. Love you. Is it words? Oh, brother, I just want you to know that I just love you like a brother. I love you like you're my own son. I just love you so much I would die for you. Is it words? No, it's not words. Why? Because you don't need Christ in your heart to say that you love someone. What is love? What is love? We're in the passage. Look at verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We know love by this. Know is one of my favorite things in all the world. It is the Greek perfect tense. As you know, the Greek perfect tense means a completed action. We know love by this. Our search for the meaning of love is over. We have come to know forever and ever, for all time, the matter is settled. We know love because Jesus died for us. Jesus Christ and his death on the cross forever answers the question, what is love? In your notes, Jesus Christ shows us what love is. Look at John 10:11 behind me on the screen. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You're in 1 John, hopefully on the same page. Look at 1 John 4, 9 through 11. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is the satisfaction of God's wrath. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Awesome. Jesus loves you. Look at John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus showed us what love is, and we are called to love one another. Verse 16, we know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The famous one, it's in your bulletin every single week. John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Imagine how God would be glorified if all those that hate Christians around the world, all those that tortured Christians, all those that denied Christians food, and all those who denied Christians water and clothing and shelter and education and medical services and family and friends, if they could see that Christians 3,000 miles away took care of them, they would be convicted of sin. And they would know that our God is God. 1 John 4:19 says it best, we love because he first loved us. What's the principle in your notes? Love is following Jesus' example of self-sacrifice to meet the needs of other Christians. You're in the passage, 1 John 3:13 through 18. Look at this next verse, very logical. Verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? John gives us a very simple equation. It's in your notes. Having plus seeing plus giving equals love. Having plus seeing plus giving equals love. If I have this world's goods and see my Christian brother in need and I help him, I love him. The opposite is true. If I have this world's goods and I see my fellow Christian in need and I do not help him, how can the love of God possibly be in me? Now John tells us how to do it. Verse 18 is the final verse in the passage. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Number 7 in your notes, love is not words, it is action. Love is not words, it is action. Jesus Christ is the perfect role model of love. And Christianity does not start. Christianity is not based on what we do. Christianity starts and is based on what Jesus did. We love because he loved. Christianity is not, Trinity Baptist is not a group of people that have come together to love. We are a group of people that have been brought together by love. Amen. He's first. He's the focus. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 behind me. Just as you abound in everything. Trinity Baptist. Just as you abound in everything. In faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. Why? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich for your sake, Trinity Baptist, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. In your notes, sacrificial giving is the nature of Jesus. Sacrificial giving is the nature of Jesus. Therefore, it is the defining attribute of an authentic Christian. Sacrificial giving is the nature of Jesus. Therefore, it is the defining attribute of an authentic Christian. Brothers and sisters, there are many ways to love one another. I want to show you one. This is not the only way to apply this passage, but it is one. Behind me on the screen is the Open Doors website. You're not going to be able to see that very well, but you can see a maroon line running across the top. Chrissy has her cursor on the end, which is give. Go ahead and go there, Chrissy. Down on the left, if you can see Chrissy's mouse, down on the left, she's going to go to gift catalog. And I want to just show you some very practical ways. You can't see this, but I can. This is where most of our One Hope money goes. This is providing a convert with their first Bible. At the Open Doors website, you click on that, and you can do that. Of course, since you go to Trinity Baptist, you can do it through your church as well. This is what we're doing this year, right there on the screen. This year, for the One Hope Project, we're giving youth Bibles. And that's right there. Give a youth Bible, $4. Give a children's Bible. We did that first. And there's some other choices right there. Give an MP3 Bible, and on down. Okay, Chrissy, go to the next option, please. Okay, I'm having as much trouble seeing that as you. That's job training for a persecuted widow. Right there is $44. What happens, we've seen on the video, a man will be incarcerated because of his faith in Christ. And because it's a different society, in a Muslim society, the men are the breadwinners. The women do not work. So a man is incarcerated. The woman is now has no means of supporting herself. For $44, you can provide her job training and love her and give her a chance to succeed. You can't see what that one is, Chrissy?
No, I can't see any of it. It's all over again.
Okay. That's something else you can do for $28. Oh, it's a grief recovery. Grief recovery ministry for a widow for $28. Go to the top again, Chrissy. Go to the next one. That's Sunday school material for a young boy. $28. And that's something else. You can see this if you go to the website. OpenDoorsUSA.org, click give. Go to the next one, Chrissy. Okay, there you can provide a bag of fertilizer for one of our brothers and sisters in Christ who, because of their faith in Christ, do not have the same economic or job opportunities that we have. That's $25. Discipleship training, $60. And then support a secret church for, looks like, $175. Go to the next one. Training course for a pastor, $30. And I can't see what that one is. Looks like some more discipleship training. Go to the next one, Chrissy. Next option. Okay, this is great. $34, you can provide a hospital visit for one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of their faith in Christ, they don't have the same opportunity for medical care that we do, and they are sick. $34 lets them go to the doctor one time, and there's bigger options as well. Reach a Muslim community. You can't see that up there. Reach a Muslim community, $20,000. Click and you can give. And you're saying, I don't have $20,000. I don't have $20,000 either. But listen, we started the One Hope Project in 2008, and we've raised $50,000. Trinity Baptist Church. In partnership with three other churches. So, reach a Muslim community. What this is doing, you can't see it on the screen, you are putting a hospital in a community.
for $20,000 in the name of Jesus. You say, I don't have $20,000, but God is giving me that vision. By faith, I'm going to step out and I'm going to do it. I took the same step of faith 3 years ago, and Trinity Baptist, in partnership with four other churches, has raised $50,000. $20,000 is nothing. Next, Chrissy. And there's only one more. Over to your left. Teach a believer to read, $150. Very important. We give them Bibles, but they need to know how to read. And that is it. That's opendoorsusa.org, a very practical way for us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Check out the website, www.opendoorsusa.org. Chrissy, thanks. Last note. In your notes, this is the last one. Love is the result of a relationship with Jesus Christ, not the cause. Love is the result of a relationship with Christ, not the cause. If I have a light bulb and the light bulb does not go on and it's brand new, I do not rebuke the light bulb. I simply know that it is not connected to the source of power. If you are here and you do not love, it's an indication that you are not connected to the source. Please come and talk to one of the elders afterwards.